are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Of course, our television audience, you're from Bloemfontein, where the revival began. It's still holiday, but our hearts are on fire. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Come on, let's welcome our television audience this morning. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this morning. Great to see all of you in this place. Are you happy? Yeah. Are you glad that God is on your side? Yeah. Are you excited about the future? Yeah. Come on, tell somebody the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. My message this morning, new series I'm starting, No God Like My God. There ain't no God like my God. Psalm 135 verse 1, the Bible says, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Somebody say, God is good. Sing praise to His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel for His special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great. Somebody say, I know that the Lord is great. No, come on, you need to say it, and you need to mean it this morning, that God is greater than your trouble. God is greater than your problem. God is greater than your trial. God is greater than your tribulation. I know that the Lord is great. Hallelujah. I know. There's something about people who know that their God is great. They are unstoppable. They are dangerous for the devil. Come on. They know they're going over and they're not going under. Am I preaching to somebody here this morning in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Psalm 147 verse 5, the Bible says, great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 77 verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as God, as our God? I want to talk about this morning, there is no God like my God. Amen. There is no God like my God. I want you to know this morning that your God is great. Your God is an awesome God. Your God is greater than any disease, than any mountain you may face, than any valley you may walk through, than any adversity or challenge you may be facing. He's greater than any mountain. There is nothing your God cannot do. There is no mountain He cannot move. There is no storm He cannot calm. There is no door He cannot open. There is no sickness He cannot heal. Come on, somebody. There is nothing too difficult for God this morning. If you believe it this morning, give the Lord a praise in this place. Hallelujah. To the prophet Jeremiah, God says, He says to Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? In another scripture, God says, I know not anything. Oh, people talking, people make as if God cannot heal diseases, as if God cannot heal sickness. But I want to tell you this morning that there is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing too difficult for God. I don't care how big your giant, your God is bigger. I don't care how severe your storm, your God is stronger in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the doctor said. I mean, I do care what the doctor said, but I want to tell you that your God is able this morning to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Your God is a great God. Somebody shout, my God is a great God in Jesus' name, and give Him a praise. When Sarah was old, beyond childbearing age, God made a promise. In Genesis chapter 18, He said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So in the natural, she could not have a child. But God comes, He says, okay, you're going to have a child, Abram, not through Hagar, through Sarah. I don't care how dead Sarah's womb is. I don't care how far she is beyond childbearing age. God says, I'm giving a promise. And if God says something, it will be. Somebody say amen. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I also bear a child since I'm old? You know, sometimes because the promises of God have delayed, or sometimes you believe in God for this and exactly the opposite happens. Think about this for a moment. Sarah, when the promise came, was 65 years old. Now she's 90 years old. And for 25 years, she's been believing God to have a child. She's beyond childbearing age. So every woman knows what that means. She doesn't have that time of the month any longer. So her womb is dead. Her body is dead. But God says, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughs in herself. She sits in church. She doesn't laugh. So everybody sees she's laughing. She may even sit there and say, hallelujah. Or sit there and say, I've heard that before, preacher. There was a time I believed God and exactly the opposite happened. So she had a laugh of cynicism. It's like, okay, it sounds good. Like many people sitting in the church because they've heard the promises of God again and again. And when a man stands up like me today and say, hey, your future is better than your past. Hey, you're going to get the dream job. Hey, you're going to go over and not under. Hey, God's going to take you places where you could not take yourself. Be careful that you do not have a cynical smile in your heart. Where you have reduced God to your level of experience. Where the promise of God is not as real as it used to be in days gone by when it first came. Because it's always easy when we receive a promise, but then we have to walk it out. And we have to walk through our valleys and we have to walk through our storms and through our delays and face our many impossibilities. And if we're not careful, we, like Sarah, we hear the word of God, we're in church, but we're actually sitting outside of the tent and we've become cynical. I believe God for a dream marriage and we ended in divorce. I believe God that my husband would live and now he's in heaven. I believe God for a job and I've lost my business. And this is where Sarah is. And watch what God says, because God knows our hearts, amen. And God can work in us according to our hearts. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. Be careful that your heart doesn't become neutral, because that you no longer believe that your God is a great God, that anything is possible with God, that the very things that are impossible with men are possible with God, because with your God all things are possible, because your God ain't like any other God. Your God is still the same yesterday, today and forever. Come on, he still is El Shaddai. He still is more than enough. He still is able to take you through the valley. Come on, he still is able to secure you and to protect you in the fiery storm. Come on, somebody say amen. There ain't no God like my God. When you're on the battlefield and there's a Goliath facing you, there ain't no God like my God. Come on. When you're in a whale's belly and the digestive juices want to digest you, you better remember there ain't no God like my God. When Lazarus is in the grave and he's busy rotting, you better believe there ain't no God like my God. Come on. He's a God that makes impossibilities possible. And I want to tell you the second part of this year, it's going to be a great 5 months. But you have to believe that God is a great. Oh, come on, somebody, jump on your feet and give God a crazy praise. So I just want to jump start us into this next quarter. So Sarah, Pastor, you said at the beginning of the year it's going to be a greater year, and it's really not been a greater year for me. And you like Sarah this morning. And God said, I've heard the laugh. Not a laugh of joy, but a laugh of skepticism, cynicism, neutrality. You know, when we stand in God's presence, we can never be neutral. When Jesus came to his hometown, people were neutral and Jesus couldn't work. Because God cannot operate beyond what we believe about him. So God says, why did she laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. That's a word for somebody. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time. Somebody say the appointed time. Come on there in Pretoria. Say the appointed time. The vision is for an appointed time. Isaac is for an appointed time. Your deliverance is for an appointed time so that God will receive the glory, but the deliverance will come. Sarah will have a child. Come on. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. I want you to know that your God is still omnipotent, all-powerful, still omniscient, all-wise. He knows how to get you from the pit to the palace. He still is omnipresent. He's everywhere. A.W. Tozer writes in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. And I quote, he says, there are many ills in the Christian life that can be traced to one single problem. It is our view about God and our attitude towards Him. How many of you know that your view of somebody determines your attitude towards that person? Sometimes we have a wrong view and we dislike people, right? Your view of God. He writes, the low view of God entertained almost universally among Christians is the cause of 100 lesser evils among us. The decline of our knowledge of this holy God has brought on our own troubles. I want to read that again. The decline of our knowledge. Paul's cry was that I may know Him. Not about Him. The decline of our knowledge of this holy God has brought on our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty and greatness of our God will go a long way toward curing our problems. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of mankind will show that no people has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its ideal of God. So you don't rise above your religion or your belief. And your religion is determined by your idea of God. Every other religion also has an idea of God. The difference is their gods have mouths, but they speak not, eyes, but they see not, ears, but they hear not. But our God made the heavens and the earth. Our God is alive. Our God's ears are open to His people. Our God is an able God. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a present help in times of need. Our God promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Our God is there every step of the way. Our God is the Lord my shepherd. He is Jehovah Raha. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is always present. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Titkinu. He's my righteousness. This morning, He's El Shaddai. Somebody give this God a praise like you mean it this morning. I want you to know there's nothing too difficult for God. When David faced Goliath, God was there. When Paul and Silas were in the midnight hour in prison, God was there. When Jonah was in the whale's belly, God was there. When Jehoshaphat faced three armies, God was there. A present help in times of need. When you open the Bible, you will see God is there. In the beginning, God. When you close the Bible, you will see at the end, He will reign forever and ever and ever. How God is a great God. How God is a great God. How God is a great God. There ain't no God like my God. Hallelujah. So what we believe about God and what we think about Him will greatly affect our lives. A low view of God will produce a low form of living. A lofty view of God will produce a higher form of living. So really the question this morning is, who is this God? Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. But He did more than that. He showed us how to have a relationship with this Father. For many people, they don't have the right view of God. It's almost like God is the puppet on a string. But every encounter, every story in the Bible starts with a man called by God and a man following God. And then as the man serves and obeys God, God reveals Himself to the man. Every story in the Bible, these are normal men like you and me who had real encounters with God and their lives changed and history was shaped. So God has changed your life, but He's busy shaping history. But your history is through the knowledge of your God, walking with Him. Not doubting Him, not questioning Him, not becoming cynical, not doubting who He is. Because God is. He doesn't have to defend Himself. He doesn't have to prove Himself. Every morning that you wake up and you see creation, you know there is a Creator. Every morning that you wake up and you see the beauty out there, you know there is a greater being. That's why the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. How can you as an intelligent human being say, there is no God? The Bible says, we don't even answer that. That is a fool. A fool says there is no God, because who created something? Who created the Big Bang? Who created everything? That's why David stands in Psalm 8 and he says, oh Lord, our God, how awesome is your works. Oh, he says, I'm overwhelmed. I'm awestruck, God, by your magnificence. Because every time I look in creation, I see your handiwork. I see the work of your fingers. I see your fingerprints throughout creation. When I look in the mirror, I see your fingerprints. What is man that you are mindful of him? For you have created him a little lower than the angels, or Elohim. You've crowned him with glory and honor. That glory and honor comes through the knowledge of knowing him. People that overcame adversity in this Bible are all people who knew him, who did not doubt him in the worst moment. So God has to, in scripture, only a few times defend himself, like with Sarah, like with Jeremiah. And he says, okay, I've got nobody to say that I'm able. Now I'm going to tell you, is anything too hard for me? It's like, okay, I can't have a baby. I don't have a womb. God says, with me in the equation, I don't care how long the delay. I don't care how impossible. Is anything too hard? When does it become hard? When we have a distorted picture of God and our view of God becomes tainted by religion, by our experiences, by people's opinions. Somebody that says, I also believe that, but now the cynicism comes out, not in the laugh of the heart, but in the skeptical conversation that steals and robs people of their faith in God. This is meant to be a relationship. Our God is the only God who answers prayer. Every other God, you could go put food for the idol. The next morning they take the food away and they have to put food there because the idol cannot eat the food. Every other religion is a religion of works. Our calling is a calling of relationship where we get to know Him. That is our journey as Christians. The Apostle Paul, after being taught by Jesus 14 years in the third heaven, in Philippians he says that I may know Him. It's like, especially young people, and I'm on a mission to iron certain things out, amen, to set in order things that are lacking. People, how they talk about God, it's like the old chap, the man upstairs, you know, it's like, me and God, we're cool, really? And everybody that you see in the Bible, when they have an encounter with God, they stand with fear and trembling. Even John, who walked with Jesus, falls to the ground when he sees Jesus. Not fear and trembling, that is a fear of bondage, but a reverence, a respect to say, who are you, God? You are a holy God. You are a great God. And you have chosen to love me and have a relationship with me. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you are my Father. So I cannot doubt what you say to me. When you discover him, you know there is no God like your God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in the midst of the fiery furnace after Nebuchadnezzar made the decree, everyone who will not bow before the graven image I set up. And he challenged them and he said, okay, you don't want to go my way. You don't want to do things the world's way. So I'm going to make things hotter. Some of you are going through the fire because you refuse to compromise as a Christian. And that's a good thing. Because God knows the stand that you have taken. And even when things are still going to become hotter, you should not doubt the ability of your God. Because Nebuchadnezzar challenged them. He says, who is this God who will deliver you out of my hand? Like, I'm the king of the country. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able. Somebody say, my God is able. My God, you better say it with more conviction than in Pretoria. My God is able. Say it this morning. They said, but if not, we will not bow before you. The only thing that's going to happen is we're going to go to heaven sooner. Nebuchadnezzar commands the fire to be made hot, a seven-time heat, and seven times more. And the very strong men that threw them into the fire died because of the heat. The Bible says they were thrown in, three men were thrown bound into the furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked and he was astonished and he said, look, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? But lo, I see four men loose in the midst of the fire. Oh, come on, I want to tell you that God is not going to forsake you. God is not going to leave you. When you go to the fire, God will be there. When you walk through the shadow of death, God will be there. He's the fourth man in the furnace. He's a God that will break the chains. He's a God that will loose you. There is no God like my God. Shout amen. In the name of Jesus, and give him a praise. Hallelujah. I don't know what you are facing this morning, but I want you to know that God is able. I want you to know that God is one prayer away. In Psalm 34, verse 4, David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Verse 6, he says, the poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. Verse 15 says, the eye of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now God still delivers. When trouble comes, God's waiting. Not for a Sarah, but for an Abram. That did not stagger the promises of God through unbelief. But he gave God the glory. His sound was a different sound. Let the second part of this year be different. The sound that comes out of your heart, let it not be a sound of cynicism, a sound of doubt, a sound of fear, a sound of anger, a sound of anguish, but let it be a sound of rejoicing. Come on. Let it be a rejoicing in God, knowing that God is able, knowing that God is faithful, knowing that God will not forsake you, knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's an unchanging God. He still is the keeper of his people. He still is a deliverer of the oppressed. He still is a healer of the brokenhearted. He still is a way maker. He still opens the prison door. There still is nothing our God can do. If you believe it this morning, one more time, give him a praise offering there in Pretoria. Come on. Johannesburg. Windhoek. Our God is a great God. In the name of Jesus. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's more than your fear. He's more than your pain. He's more than your rejection. He's more than your uncertainty. He's more than your insecurity. He's more than your trouble. Our God is a great God. I pray that God opens the eyes of your understanding, that every child of God may see this magnificent God that we have. That God may not just become some historical phrase in your life, like with so many Christians. The minute that happens, when the distorted image of God enters, all faith exploits cease. Then giving becomes a challenge. Tithing becomes a challenge. Witnessing becomes a challenge. Because my eyes are no longer on him. My eyes are now on my trouble, my problems, my disappointments, my frustrations, my setbacks. I'm going to encourage you this morning to almost pull you back into a walk of faith with God. Because when you walk with God, the result of that is a life of faith, not a life of doubt and fear and playing games, if I can say that. It's a life that is a sure thing of trust, that you know him and the power of his resurrection. When David faced Goliath, he said, I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. Why do we doubt at times? Why do we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by circumstances on the battlefield and lose our focus of God when we need focus of God the most, where we need the stone, we need the sling, we need the staff, Moses. Not suddenly you stand empty-handed and you think God has left you. It is in the moment that the enemy attacks you that God says, what is in your hand? And that through what is in your hand, you release the very power of God into your situation. I'll say it again, a distorted image of God leaves people neutral. They just sit. Oh, they're in church. They worship with their lips, But the sound in their heart is gone. When the offering comes, when they get their salaries and it's time to tithe, suddenly there's a different sound. It's like, it's too much. I can't. It's a different sound. Be careful. Because this is a faith journey. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to believe that he is. We serve him because of who he is. God is. Like no other God. Proven himself through scripture. Proven himself throughout the ages. And the most wonderful thing about this God is he wants to reveal himself to you. And although he's a friend, he's holy. Although he's a deliverer, he's also a personal God. He's many faceted. Father. He's father. He's friend. He's God. He's Elohim. He's the high and lifted one. He's God alone. When you see him, you change. Your faith rises. You don't fear him, you reverence him. No matter what you go through, you don't doubt him. Otherwise, what is this all about? Getting 3 points. You can get that from a motivational person. God is in the sanctuary. We just read that. This is where we come to worship him. This is where we come to bring our offerings. This is where we come to learn about this God. This is the journey. What is it to help you build a great business, but you never get to know God? You build a great business, but you never get to get involved in what God is doing in the world. What is that? That again is just religion. And in this church, we've tried to present God differently. Where it's not God on Sunday and during the week, it's you. Where you live a life intertwined with God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your business matters. Your success matters. Your friends matter. Everything you do matters. Because it's you and God. Study the Bible. Adam walked with God. Enoch walked with God. But there were generations that never walked with God. They were born and died. Read the first few chapters of the Bible and you will see generation, sons and daughters, nameless generations. Why? Because they were people that didn't care about God. They win the competition. It's like, okay, God. Like, you don't really matter, God. I mean, he's greater. He should be greater than your success, greater than your ego, greater than your relationships you pursue. He should be greater. Our God is a great God. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you a new desire for God, and I pray that the Holy Spirit in this series that I'm preaching and going to preach will give you a new revelation of who God is, and that you will relate to God in a new way, not business as usual. But that you will have a deeper relationship with God, not religious, deeper. And that you will seek to please him, just like Jesus came. Thy will, O God. I came to please my Father. Your God is a great God. Your God loves you. Your God will you know, in his left hand are pleasures evermore. There's nothing God will not do for you. But all he says is first, give yourself to me. Let's start this relationship for real. Not, oh God, I know if I do this, you'll do this. And it's like a formula. And it's like we try to work out, if I do this, God must do this. And if I do that, God. No, it's much deeper than that. It's much more than that. It's walking with God in the good times and in the bad times. And always acknowledging him, not just Sunday. To be overwhelmed by him, even in the midst of your storms. Amen. How awesome is your name, O God. But you can learn from David. That's why the Bible says, in spite of his trial and tribulation and problems, he was a man after God's heart. Because in every psalm, he comes back to God. When he messes up, he's back with God. When he's in the palace, he's with God. When he's successful, he's with God. When the enemy comes, he's with God. It's a relationship he has with God. What else is this? What else is this? This is it. This is what we were created for eternity.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Just pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave and you are alive. I want to know you. I want a relationship with you. So today, I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus Christ, to take your place as my Lord and as my Savior. I give myself to you. Thank you for accepting me and for giving me the power today to be God's child. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.